All right, well, welcome to another evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. We're going to have a treat tonight. The Zion's Trumpet Choir is going to sing a few songs. So we're going to do that first before we do anything else as soon as they get in here. I got a message from Brother Rich. Brother Rich says he won't be here for a while. He has a little problem. And he won't be in the room for a little while. So you can keep him in prayer. He's having a little problem. Okay. Okay, well, here comes the choir. You ready? You ready?
When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you came. When I come to the end of all that I am, and I fall on my face before you, I will always know that you will meet me there. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you came. When I come to the end of all that I am, and I lay down my life before you, I will always know that you will change me there. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, end of my strength, oh Lord, you came. When I come to the end of all that I am, and I fall on my face before you, I will always know that you will meet me there. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, end of my strength, oh Lord, you came. When I come to the end of all that I am, and I lay down my life before you, I will always know that you will change me there.
Okay. And well, you go. You want to say something, Jamie? Go ahead.
Dedicating this next one to Brother Rich.
Okay, this is for Brother Rich. Okay.
Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. Where the burnout costs an hour, so hold on a little longer, hold on. You took the hand of Jesus, and you stood upon his promise, but it seems that you have trusted him in vain. Is on its way and painful, so hold on a little longer, hold on. Hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger, for the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. But he'll burn out just an hour, so hold on a little longer, hold on. You took the hand of Jesus, and you stood upon his promise. It seems that you have trusted him in me. But the answer you had prayed for is on its way and painful. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. Burn out, dross, and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on.
All right, amen.
Amen. Everybody say amen.
Everybody say amen. All right.
Okay.
That's the Zion's Trumpet Choir. Okay. When is the CD coming out? Oh my. All right. Amen. Okay. Anybody? Okay. Who has something in the room first to share? Anybody who's gonna step up and share first? Sister Irma. Okay, Sister Irma, you're the mic. Go ahead.
I wanted to go first because I picked up the Bible to read this week, and I thought of your comments last Sunday, honoring his word, when you said, what would we do without it? I was so reminded of how greatly blessed we are to have his word and how it meets all our needs when we read and obey it. Psalms 119, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 28, if they followed his commandments and hearkened unto his word, they would receive great blessings, and they truly did. When Jesus came, John 1:14, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God provided us with all we needed. It brought us eternal life, power, peace, joy, comfort, strength, and answers to all our questions. When the Lord taught and answered the multitudes, he began his ministry with these words, quote, it is written, and power came forth. When he was tempted by the devil, Jesus defeated him with, quote, Satan, it is written, unquote. Jesus began his ministry with, it is written, and ended with, it is finished. Such powerful, wonderful words. I love the totality of his word. It fulfills our every need and shall stand forever and ever. It brings us deliverance. To God be the glory. That's all I have to share. God bless you, Dan, and everyone.
Amen. Amen, Sister Irma. Good word. My cat's bugging me for food. Sorry. Go ahead, Sister Jan. You have the mic.
Hello. It's been a while since I spoke to you guys, so I just hope that my mic works. I don't know that I've been used for a long time. And I'm recuperating myself, and I intended to have something to say tonight to write down, but it just seems like with this all flu that I've had, that everything just falls out of your head somehow. But I still managed to get in and read some of the articles that you've had there, Dan. So I did get to write down a couple of things, but not on a personal level as such. But anyway, I just want to thank you, Dan, for all your teachings, and to let you know that I do read everything that you put up and read and print off the articles and that, because it seems like every time that I read something, I get more from it, and I just wonder if my memory is failing me or what, but it always seems new and fresh when I read it. Praise the Lord. And I thank you for shedding light on the false doctrine that I've been caught up in over the years. I've been around and around and around and around, and I'm still trying to get on that straight and narrow and stay there and to know God's Word. Your messages have opened my eyes in so many ways, and now when I do hear somebody speak, the odd time that I get a chance so that I listen to something on TV, sometimes I just tune in to just see what they are saying, you know, that I listen intensely and weigh what they're saying, and weigh more particularly what they're not saying is what I find too, is what's going on today. And I will say this, that when I first got saved, even though I got caught up in all kinds of false doctrine and everything else, and but I always prayed. Whenever I said my prayers, I always prayed, Lord, that I didn't want to be deceived and that I only wanted to know the truth. And all along those ways, I thought I knew the truth, but I didn't. But I still kept praying. But gradually, you know, page by page, word by word, leaf by leaf, you know, things started to come together, and you started seeing things differently. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me to look at things a different way and open my eyes. And I certainly use you for that too, Dan. Thank you. But it's always amazing how subtle the enemy is with his deceit. And some of the articles that you've put on, let us listen to in videos while we're in the room, I'm saying, like, they don't, you know, I don't see too much wrong with that, but I don't agree with this, or I don't agree with that part. But when you take it and you analyze it, and that you see, yeah, just so, you know, how, just how deceitful and conniving and sly the enemy is. And it's so easy to get drawn in without even realizing it. And the sad part about it is that many of those people are deceived themselves, and they'll probably never come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's, you know, it's just so heartbreaking, because they believe and think they know the Lord or love the Lord, I suppose. I'm sure some is not true in all cases, but probably in most of the cases. I just want to say that I listened to that video that you posted, the five-part one on Forsaken Promise, and while I've always known of the persecution and the murder of the Jews by the Nazis, but I never realized the part of Great Britain and other countries. I really never realized that there was anyone else but those nasty Nazis that punished God's people, and it was very difficult to listen to. It was very, very difficult. It was heartbreaking, I must say. And I will say that, you know, I always believed that the Jews were welcome and prospered in Canada, the United States. I always fell down in my heart. But I never stopped to realize why our country's prospered as we have. I did think it was because we were Christian nations, and I'm sure that that was the way it started out to be. And I really did think it was that, but I didn't realize it was because, you know, how we accepted and loved the Jewish people. And so, also, I'm reading the book now, As America Has Done to Israel, and I think I'm around page 89 or something like that, 90. Reading about those prophecies in the Middle East, and you hear what's going on over there today, my goodness, it's just... the Lord's return is so close, and it's just a wonderful time to be alive, and there's so much happening, and I know that the Jews got a lot facing them, and please God that He will see them through it all and strengthen them. So, personally, I've had a little girl living with me since November, a little 11-year-old girl, and she's given me... just give me a reason sometimes to stay a normal life, I guess, because you can easily get caught up in little ruts when you live alone. And I'm thankful for that. She's a good little girl, and she's learning about the Lord, and she loves to read the children's Bible. And there is another side to that that makes life very difficult sometimes. But in the meanwhile, I just thank God that I was able to help her at this time in her life. And I just want to thank God for that, that He will give me the wisdom to know where to go with the situation. So I thank the Lord for that. So, Dan, I thank you all, and Herma, you've blessed me so many times, and Kimberly and Annabelle with all your wonderful words, and Joey and all the gang. I can't remember all the words. I'm sure everybody in the room have contributed. I want to thank you all. They've been a blessing. And Joey, I must say that when you did speak on the one on family, that night, I really had to sit up and pay attention. I don't know what other way to put it. It really touched my heart deeply. So I thank you for that. And I thank all of you, and the Lord willing that we will be able to continue to learn together and grow together. Amen. Thank you. I hope it wasn't too long.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Amen. No, you weren't too long. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Is this on? I've never done this before, so I don't know if it... Okay. So glad to be in the room tonight. When Dan first said that we were going to have open mic night, the first thing I thought was, oh, nice, but I'm not going to share. But the more I thought about it, the more I felt that I should maybe share my testimony. For those who don't know, I'm Jamie's daughter-in-law. In February, Andrew and I packed up and moved to Pennsylvania from Wisconsin, and I'm so grateful that we made that move. I know without a doubt that I was supposed to be here. On April 15th, Mama Annabelle called me to ask me if I had a firm salvation experience, one where I knew through the Holy Spirit in me that I was God's child. I immediately was broken and realized I had to say no. I did not have a firm knowledge that Jesus Christ was my Savior. You see, when I was 8 or 9, I came forward to an altar call after watching a Trip to Hell sort of movie. Someone led me in prayer, and I was later baptized, but I never fully realized my true state in the sight of God, that I was worthy of eternal punishment because of my sins. I came forward to escape hell, not to serve the living God. At that tender young age, I gave my life to religious spirits because I did not come to Jesus through repentance. I can look back now and see that my life was empty and full of hypocrisy. I was what Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I was disgusting in the sight of God, and I was going to hell, and all the while thinking I was doing a good job walking the walk and serving God. I was full of religious spirits, and I didn't even know it. I am so grateful to Dan, Annabelle, Joey, and Jamie for going to battle for me and helping me see the truth about myself in Christ. We watched a very old Billy Graham movie, and in the movie he preached about how I had broken all 10 commandments and was worthy of the righteous anger of Almighty God. I could see it was true. Me, I was so righteous and holy in my own eyes, was truly full of sin, pride, hypocrisy, and worthy of eternal death. But that isn't the end of the story. I found freedom in the simplicity found in the blood of Jesus. I praise the Lord for His great redemption. I am so sorry for all the years that I served Satan in his hellish ways. My heart breaks every time I remember the things I have done in the past and all the destruction I brought upon myself by following Satan in his wicked ways. I truly feel like the woman in Luke chapter 7 who loves much because she's been forgiven of much. So after almost 19 years, I'm learning about the real Jesus, the one who loves, saves, leads, and is truly a good shepherd. I served such a wicked and hateful and legalistic master before, but now I serve Almighty God, who loves me and has my best in mind. For the first time in my life, I know that I can trust Jesus no matter what. For the first time in my life, I see that there's a sweet simplicity in Christ, and by His grace and mercy, I'm saved. I have so much to learn. I have made so many mistakes already, and I still have a lot to work to do in my own life. But now I have help, and my hope is faithful.
Amen. Good testimony, Megan. Good testimony. Thank you for sharing that. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Okay. Good. That's right. Good testimony. Irma, go ahead, Irma. You got the mic.
Can you hear me? Good. Oh, that was a wonderful testimony. And so was Jan. It was so good to hear from both of you. God bless you. And I only had a question I forgot to ask you, Dan, and it was too much to write. And I don't even have it put together, so bear with me. But right before I put on the Christian News, and it happened to be Jack Van Empe, and he was so stirred up, and he's got plans to attack Rick Warren next week. He is so upset at him and Robert Shuler because they spoke at an Islam conference, and he said there's no reason why those two can't be put together, the two religions, and they're going to work on it. Plus, on global religion, Tony Blair and Bill Clinton are working up a pattern, and they're going to move forward with the One World Church and the One World Government. And we know that these are two last signs before Christ's return. But I just I didn't know if you heard anything about those two incidents, and that's all I wanted to say. Talk to you later. Thanks.
No, I haven't heard that. Actually, I've been not keeping up with the news too much this week. I was fixing my computer. My computer had some stuff wrong with it, and I was redoing my computer all week. But it doesn't surprise me that Rick Warren would do that. Except he's in for rude awakening. You can't unite Christianity and Islam. And when they try to do it, Islam will take over Christianity. But they'll find out too late. They'll go too far. They can't do anything about it. Islam has never been cooperating with Christianity anywhere. So anyway, no, but I haven't heard that. I look for it this week. Thanks for the heads up. Let's see. Well, we got Irma Jan and, well, K-Meds is the only one. You have anything to share, K-Meds?
Okay. It's my first time talking, at least. I want you people to know how I sound like. I have a testimony, but I'm not going to give it today. I'm going to tell you where I came from and how I came into dance room. I came here from Apostasy Watch. God is so wonderful to take me to a place like that for me to meet Dan. And that's how I came to know about Dan. And I followed Dan to his room. And when I left Apostasy Watch, I had so much mail from him threatening me and all kinds of stuff. So I called Dan. I sent an email. And Dan told me not to worry about it. Just keep praying. And this is how I came to a dance room. And it's been a blessing because I left the church system somewhere in 2001. And I was looking around searching. That's when I found Apostasy Watch. But I think God led me there to find dance room. And I've been blessed so much by it. And things are going so great for me right now. I'm 63 years old. I'm an electrical engineer, and I'm about to retire. I'm working on that right now. My job has closed, but I'm still being kept on by the grace of God for the next few months. After that, I'll have severance for about 6 months, and I'm planning on probably still keep working. So thanks, Dan, for all the wonderful things that you're doing in this room and for the help that you're giving to the kingdom of God. Even though we are not that many, from this group we'll spread a lot of teaching to other people. So God bless you all, and thank you for having me. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Amen. Well, that's nice to hear your voice there, K-Mens. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. God bless you. All right. We got some people here, I guess, they're going to share too. So, since everybody in the room shared already, I guess we'll let them share. Who's first here?
Me.
Oh, Jamie's
pushing
first.
Pushing me first.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. It's great to hear everybody tonight. Want to greet those to everybody that listens offline. We were talking about them at dinner this evening, and all the people that download the message or get it in the mail, want to greet those people and those at home too that are back in Wisconsin packing up, getting ready to move to Pennsylvania. Dan had said last week about the open mic night and to share a little bit what the Lord's been doing in our lives, and I right away thought of my testimony. Actually, I should say the testimony of about the last 11 months. Next month will be 1 year since I made my first visit here to the brothers and sisters in Pennsylvania. As I look back over the past 11 months, it has been a time of great joy and also great trials and testing, of which I would not trade the whole world for. Starting out with a confession, I would like to say just a little more than a year ago, I was aspiring to go on to perfection, but unwilling to really pay the price. I knew about death to self, but had no idea what that meant. I continued to play around with the lust of the flesh and the things of this world. I was talking about the walk. I knew the right words, but deep down in, I was full of dead men's bones and a hypocrite. Dan has said in the past that it doesn't matter how much we know about God's plan for the overcoming remnant. It doesn't matter how good we are at preaching the vision of complete sanctification, or of the high calling, or of death to self, or of going on to perfection, of being part of the man-child company, or of being an overcomer. The only thing that matters to God is this: are we walking the walk? We can talk about these things all day long, and yet not doing the things that will actually bring us into the reality of it. Speaking of the betrayal of Jesus by Judas, in Matthew 26:49, it says, "And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and kissed him." How often do we call him our Master and our Lord, but take part in the evil of this world and serve self in many of its carnal ways? And in so doing, we deny him in our very actions. We even kiss him, but we constantly sell him out with a superficial profession and service. And that was my life. It was a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. As I mentioned, that the Lord has taken me through many trials the last 11 months, just one part of these trials has been a purging of my own selfish, greedy, and deceptive way of life. As well as idols that needed to be laid down, I was compromising with family members on both my wife's side and my family, my wife's side of the family and my own. Like Jan said, it was Joy's word that he gave a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, was very impactive and was very good. I encourage everybody to re-listen to that. I will try to touch briefly on some of the areas I mentioned about selfishness and that. In the area of selfishness, I would like to first say that there are many different layers to self and selfishness. Self is like an onion. There is layer after layer that needs to be peeled off before you get to the core. The very first one that the Lord put his finger on for me was using natural reasoning and logic to figure out any situation. I was a pro at using my own natural thinking going into any given situation and even during a situation. Even though I talked about being led of the Holy Spirit, in reality I was being led of myself. and my own way of doing things and what I thought was best. I was inevitably setting my will up against the will of God, which is nothing more than disobedience. There is nothing so provoking to God as disobedience. For years and years I was no different than Saul, who in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel did what he thought was best in his own wisdom and logic. Saul was in direct rebellion against the will of God, and thus had the kingdom ripped from him. Setting up our wills in competition with the Lord's will is called rebellion and stubbornness. It is said to be as bad as witchcraft and idolatry. And I believe that puts us in a position that could eventually rip us out of the kingdom of God.